welcome to the pre-post film review. I'm John Asquith.
And I'm Matt Stevenson. For anyone who's new to the podcast, the way things work here at Prepost is that we discuss a film over two distinct periods. So first, you're going to hear us chat about the trailer for Arrival this week. We recorded this before we'd seen the full film. We'd only seen the trailer, so there's going to be no spoilers. You can listen to this part of the podcast before you've seen the film and be completely safe. But then we're going to jump forward in time to when we've seen the full film and do an in-depth review, and there's going to be spoilers right off the bat, so don't listen to the second part of the podcast until you've seen the film. Here are our trailer impressions for Arrival.
There are days that define your story beyond your life. Like the day they arrived.
Signs of what might be called first contact. The objects measure at least...
I'm Colonel G.T. Weber from Army Intelligence.
Pack your bags.
You're at the top of everyone's list when it comes to translations.
Priority one. What do they want? Where are they from? You'll be reporting to me, but you'll be working with him when you're in the show.
That's what they're calling the UFO.
All right, so we've just watched the first teaser trailer for the new Denis Villeneuve film, Arrival. So this is his follow-up to Sicario, which we both liked quite a bit, I feel like, from last year.
Yeah.
This looks like a bit of a change of pace. It's a sci-fi film, which I think we might have said in our review we think he would be well suited for. Maybe I'm imagining that, and we just said that. Like in a personal chat, but it feels like his sensibilities would be a good fit for sci-fi. So it's
absolutely
it's exciting to see that his next project is exactly that. I guess I'm curious to hear, John, given the short teaser that we just watched, what your expectations are for this new film.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one, Matty boy. I think this looks awesome and has a lot of potential. And just off, you know, the top of this little chat, I think it's a great teaser because it does what a teaser should do. It shows you just enough to get
Teasers.
You really intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little tease. It doesn't give away anything. You don't see these aliens. I presume you see them in the film, you just hear them, and it just sets up that they've landed, and we're going to try and communicate with them. I have no idea whether it turns into an action thing or whether it's very like cerebral sci-fi. I'm guessing there's a bit to chew on there, but just given his previous work. So I'm fully pumped, and on a sort of technical cinematography level, as you mentioned before, his style is totally suited for that sort of classic 2001-esque slow burn sci-fi movie, which I am hoping this will be. I mean, you know, 2001's on its own pedestal, obviously, but something like, I guess, Interstellar or Contact or those movies that raise a lot of questions and might have a lot of action in them, but are more sort of discussions about space and E.T. and things like that.
Yeah, I think, like, his previous films... I've definitely shown that he's interested in sort of delving into murky thematic water instead of just a straight up genre film. So I think you're right. I think that is the most exciting prospect, is that he will be looking at sci-fi in an intelligent kind of old school sci-fi way, in terms of, you know, questions posed by science kind of thing. And like you said, I think the most impressive thing, not only is it a great teaser, but just seeing his visuals applied in this way, like the alien spacecraft looks so cool, and the way that kind of fog's flowing off those mountains when they first fly the choppers in and you see the reveal of the ship. It just looks amazing. It looks so good. So I'm super excited to see sort of what he does visually with it. Because he has a great eye.
Do you think, given that this is, a real classic teaser, and normally we're talking about trailers that we can kind of guess where the movie's going, but this doesn't give us much. Do you think it will be more like a 2001 or Interstellar type sci-fi, or do you think maybe the aliens come out and they have to shoot them and it gets a bit
the big gun action-y. Battle? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, given his previous work, he certainly it seems okay dealing with violence, like that most of his films have had some form of violence in them. Now, having said that, I don't think that is where this is going based on the teaser, mainly because it seems to be so concerned with language and communication. Like, she is not a military expert or anything. She's like brought in to try and communicate with them. So I guess I'm hopeful that it doesn't turn into an action shoot 'em up Independence Day 3 film. And it's more concerned with, you know, more subtle nuances of communicating with a different species. So I would predict that it would go down that route as opposed to the action thing. What do you think?
So, yeah, that's really interesting hearing you say that. Perhaps I keep saying 2001 and Interstellar, but perhaps this is more of a Spielberg film. This is more of a Close Encounters, you know, where it is heady sci-fi, but not up to that sort of actual scientific level. It's more of a personal journey or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad prediction. Following that train of thought, do you think Denis Villeneuve would be successful in that kind of Spielbergian humane style? Because I don't think his work previously has kind of really shown that. It's been very cold and kind of disturbing in many ways.
I wouldn't have great faith that he could tug on the heartstrings in the same that Spielberg way, but I'd like to see him try and to be surprised for sure. But I think perhaps what it would more be like is when Christopher Nolan does that. And because Christopher Nolan's is quite cold as well. And
when, you know, he
tries to hit those heartstring moments, and they're always like just a bit left or right of this, of where they should be hitting, you know, it just feels a bit off or maybe too cheesy or too cold or something like that. So perhaps more in that vein.
Yeah. I think that's a really good comparison actually, because they both have a very similar, like, clinical, cold sort of style to them, which, like, suits the sci-fi genre in a lot of ways. And I think we said this about Interstellar. Yeah. Like, that was what was exciting about seeing Nolan tackle that genre, that subject matter. But it was, like you said, when he tries to get soppy is where it didn't work. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see if this tries to go down that route or if it stays very scientific and sort of, cold and clinical, which is more in his wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah. The other thing I think that is interesting about this film, just on a sort of superficial level, is that the follow-up to this, I'm pretty sure, is Blade Runner 2, which he's directing. And obviously very different type of sci-fi, but still this film might give some indication of what's of how he's going to approach certain things potentially.
That's a very good point. I'd forgotten that he was doing the Blade Runner sequel, which I still think is a bad idea, but you know, at least it'll look good with Villeneuve involved. That's actually a really good point. Hopefully that if this is good and if this is the kind of sci-fi I feel like we're hoping it will be, then that will bode well for Blade Runner. Right. Like, I think it would be a bit worrying if this turns into a shitty action shoot 'em up thing. That would make me even more worried for the Blade Runner sequel.
I agree.
You mentioned when about them not revealing the aliens in this teaser. Do you think the aliens are revealed, and what do you think? What do you think they'll look like?
I assume they are, because the final shot is Amy Adams reacting to them.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like spells it out that she sees them, right? Like, she must.
Yeah.
And the sound and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear the sound. Unless they're really cagey and do that sort of thing where we're looking at her the whole time, which would be very interesting. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, that sort of, that you know, that technique can be either really frustrating or very cool, I think, when you don't see a creature or a monster, depending on how they...
That's a good point. Like, maybe that's like the very end of the film. You know what I mean? Like, the last shot ends with, like, the reveal, like, her face and...
Yeah.
The sound of the alien. Really
interesting. Yeah. The whole movie is just like a normal drama, and then the last 10 minutes
you're like, shit, there's aliens. Yeah.
Hey, there's an aliens over here, yeah. Can you help us? yeah, so I think you will. I imagine that they're not going to be big tentacled monsters. I think they'll probably be more traditional the greys or whatever,
like
you call them.
Close encounters-esque, like little humanoid.
Yeah, more humanoid, big heads. something like that, probably.
Yeah, no, I think it's almost, it's quite difficult to do something new with alien creatures and not feel silly or not feel, go the other way and feel overly familiar. So I'm really curious assuming that they are revealed, what the creatures actually end up looking like, or the aliens or whatever. So yeah, I guess we're both pretty damn excited for this by the sounds of
things. I'm really excited for this, yeah. It seems like the sort of sci-fi that I'm really, really into. I am really excited on a cerebral level and a superficial level.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, and I am excited by the fact that it's not an enormous blockbuster. Like, I feel like that the pressures of that kind of financial commitment would, like, guarantee that it turns into an action shoot 'em up. So,
that's a very good point.
This kind of mid-level sci-fi, budgeted sci-fi can be bold and tackle some stuff we're not used to seeing. So, fingers crossed, I'm really hopeful for this.
I was being carted off in the medevac.
Not everyone is wired for what you're about to do.
So, what do they look like?
You'll see soon enough.
Every 18 hours, a door opens up. That's where we go in.
They arrive.
They need to see me.
Dr. Banks? Are you insane?
Now that's a proper introduction.
All right, John. So now we have both seen Arrival. I'm curious to hear, first, did it live up to your expectations? And I guess secondly as well, how do you think it fits in terms of Denis Villeneuve's work so far? Is it one of his better or one of his lesser films, given we're both fans of his previous work?
I think Arrival is an incredible film, Matt. Just straight off the bat. That doesn't make any sense. I fucking love this movie. And I was watching it going... It was like you said, like, we love Denis Villeneuve. I think only reviewed one of his films on the show, which was Sicario, I believe. We talked about how we like his other films, and obviously just between us privately, we've talked about that as well. Yeah. And this, like he was like at 99% of this amazing filmmaker to me. And then this movie like tipped it over into like a million percent. You know what I mean? I was so close to just like everything he makes now, I am going to be really, really excited for, I think. Because he's just hit it out of the park so many times in a row that it is quite obvious to me that there's no weird fluke of, like, just having some good scripts or maybe a good cinematographer or something. Like, he fucking knows what he's doing, and he's one of these filmmakers that knows their craft so well and has such a distinct, confident style. And can back that style up with weighty thematic scripts as well. Not that he writes them. He didn't write this one, and I don't know about the past actually. But either way, like, he chooses good scripts, and he chooses good stories. So yeah, it lived up to my expectations, I would say, maybe there's some stuff at the end that was like, you know, a 4 out of 5 for me, like, certain segments, and the way it, like, I know we can talk about spoilers, but I don't want to like go into that straight away, 'cause we'll get caught in the, you know, talking what actually happens.
Like bits and pieces. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like it mostly totally worked, but a couple of times I was like, I don't know. I don't want to say confused, because like when I was confused, it was good in a way. Well, I guess, you know, I only saw it today, so I'm still kind of processing some of that stuff, but we can chat about that later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, off the bat, man, I love this. I loved it visually. I loved, as I said, the thematic stuff. I love the characters. The acting all around was freaking superb. And Amy Adams just like does an amazing job in this movie. I love the score. I really, really liked it and loved it and enjoyed it.
So how does it fit in terms of his other film? Like, do you like it more than Sicario and Prisoners?
I think, you know, of the movies that I've seen of his, which are the ones you've listed, and I know we have talked about this before, but he has other films before those, right? Which I have not seen. I think this is up there for me, for sure. I mean, this fits more into my taste, you know, of like intelligent sci-fi movie that is a slow burn and like beautifully shot. You know, they don't come around too often, and that's, I love that sort of stuff. So that's up there. I think this and maybe Enemy are even for me at the top. I really, really loved Enemy and what he was able to do with that movie. Probably up there. And then I'd say Sicario and Prisoners are kind of on the same level as well, just under. But they're all great. And man, like, it's very easy to be cynical about a Blade Runner sequel. But if he's helming it, at least I'm like definitely going to see it. You know what I mean? And hope that he can pull something off with that, because the guy is super, super talented.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that you had that reaction to the film.
Okay. Are you glad because you agree, as always? Or are we going to have our first
hated
argument?
No, I agree, as usual.
You had me then for a second, actually.
Though, to be fair, like, I think I'm glad that you're talking it up so much, because I think I was not quite as in love with it as you were. Even though I really, really liked it, I think I had a few small problems with it that niggled at me a little bit. Like, it wasn't a home run for me, but it was really, really, really solid. Having said that as well, I think this is a good example of, I mean, we were talking before off mic about my experience with Doctor Strange, how it being one of the best cinema experiences in recent memory, just in terms of fun and positivity, and that affected how I felt about the film. And this, I feel like this was the opposite. Like, I came to this, so I saw it as part of the London International Film Festival, and it was kind of like after some work drinks, so I'd had a few beers, there'd been a significant gap, so I don't think I'd eaten any food, and I had like a splitting headache, and I was just like really uncomfortable.
That is not the best way.
Physically uncomfortable in the cinema. Like, I just felt ill and like literally in pain while I was watching it. So I'm aware that probably made me sort of think less of certain aspects, just because I was not physically enjoying sitting there. But it also, I guess, is a testament to the film that I did like it so much, given how uncomfortable I was at the time. Because, I pretty much agree with everything that you were saying. Like, visually, awesome. Thematically, being able to back that up is... Mm. He's, like, proven again and again that he's just way more interested in exploring interesting themes or tackling... Exactly. Weird subject matter, on top of making his films look amazing. And yeah, in the trailer, everything
you could want.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the trailer discussion, we were worried about it sort of devolving into a shooty, actiony sort of climax, and it's kind of like the exact opposite to that, right? I mean, I guess they do have like the explosion-y sabotage bit.
Which that all serves like
exactly
the thematic stuff that they're trying to say about. Yeah. You know, cooperation and progress and intelligence and fear and any, you know, we'll get into that in a second. But that, I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, I was so heartened that he hadn't abandoned that side of his filmmaking just because he'd got like a slick sci-fi film. So yeah, I don't know. We can go into some of the things, I guess, that didn't work as well for me or the, I had issues with a bit later on, but overall, I thought it was awesome. And in terms of like where it sits, I'd probably agree. Though, I don't know, to be fair, like I've almost liked everything he's done equally. This might be my favorite, just as you said, because it's like right in my wheelhouse. Like I just prefer watching sci-fi than I would a gritty cop drama. That's just my personal taste.
Exactly. So maybe I would put same this for me.
The highest, but.
Yeah,
you know, they're all like four and a half star kind of area. Mm. Pretty much everything he's done so far, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting to hear you talk about like how you saw it and the way you like your experience and everything. And I think for me, a big part of this was without dating this episode or you know saying too much or whatever. But you know, there's it's been a cynical week, perhaps, or a disappointing week politically.
Yeah, to say the least.
You know, I don't think anyone that listens to us probably is a Donald Trump supporter, but well, if you are, that's I fine. Don't
give
you know?
A fuck anyway.
Yeah, true. But you know that was a thing that shocked a lot of people, regardless of which way they support him or not. Like it was just a total surprise and. You know, affected me in a way I wasn't quite ready for. And, you know, which sounds like hyperbolic, but whatever, like it did because to me, he represents very anti everything this movie is kind of ultimately saying. That this was like a cure for how I've been a bit worried this week about where things might be going in you know Western civilization or whatever. I mean it's not going to be the worst ever, but it's going to be troubling. This movie, I think, you know, I went in and I've been thinking about that stuff a lot, and this touches upon a lot of issues that are, you know, and how could they know? I mean, it's just smart sci-fi because stuff like this is kind of always relevant. But the fact that it's just come out
here so in timely,
Australia now. Yeah, so timely. And it, you know, you've got, you know, sort of like fear versus optimism or cynicism versus optimism and intelligence versus like fight or flight instincts and like trying to not have fight or flight and just, you know, think about things and offering a solution that way. And I love all of that stuff and then it explores all of that. And ultimately comes down on, you know, intelligence and language and the scientific method kind of save the day. And that is so cool. And that is what everyone is so scared that the aliens have landed to cause a war or whatever. And that it just seems so realistic to me of how we would react, right?
Yeah. Like,
and, you would be terrified, but you would also hope that they had come in a, you know, the name of peace or sharing knowledge or whatever, because, you know, why wouldn't you unless you're an asshole species? And I just that just cheered me up and made me feel good and made me feel like, you know what, there's smart people out there and it's going to be okay.
Totally. And like the whole message of the film about working together, like, that seems like the perfect antidote for, the whole American political situation and things like Brexit and like this trend recently of segregation and
division. Yep.
Yeah. Like
you've summed it up in two sentences. That's exactly what I was trying to say. and it is purposely what the extraterrestrials in the movie are trying to get everyone to do and why they were spread around the world. And it's just like so smart, you know? Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, once that reveal is like, once you sort of understand what their plan is, it's such a clever, important message. I was very impressed by that.
Yeah.
What did you think of the aliens themselves? Like, we, in our trailer discussion, we kind of predicted that you may, one, even not see the aliens, or I think we kind of expected you would, but I think you specifically said they would not be, like, tentacly weird-looking aliens, which is exactly what they turned out to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was, in my head, I was thinking of, like, Independence Day, you know? Like, the tall, tentacle things. Oh, right, okay. And they're kind of similar, in a way, but, like at first glance. Yeah, they're more like big, octopuses. I loved them. I thought they were awesome, man. And I love that it was an incredibly intelligent species that looked like animalistic, you know? Mm. Just to drive home that they were from a completely different atmosphere and planet, and to show that intelligence could evolve. You know, often in movies, another intelligent species looks like us, except they got big eyes and a big head or something.
You know
what I mean? Like, these guys were, and that added so much too, because they could squirt the little ink clouds out and write and stuff.
Yeah.
Another thing on that note too was like, they had their atmosphere was like this kind of smoky, watery substance. I don't quite know what it was, but we haven't seen that really a lot in many sci-fi movies, like at all. The air is always clear, even if it's poisonous or something. I mean, maybe it's like a green smog if it's poisonous, but like, just to see a different thickness to the atmosphere added to that. That was a nice touch that we hadn't seen before. What did you think of them?
I agree. I think they're probably initial like knee-jerk reaction wasn't so positive at the look of them. Like, it was just, I don't know, there was something so squiddy and, like, it's exactly kind of like what I didn't expect, kind of like what we were talking about in the trailer. Like, I thought it would be either nothing or very subtle, whereas this is, like, very overtly, like, alien.
True,
if it's not something we've necessarily seen before. But, yeah, you're completely right. Like, it totally grew on me, and I, for all the reasons you just said, in terms of intelligent beings not looking like little grey men or whatever they're normally represented by, and just like the more time you spent with them, when they like they gave them names and they almost became they reminded me of like elephants or these like enormous like lumbering beasts. I don't know, I liked that a lot actually. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I really liked that. I liked the build up to when you first see them. Just in terms of like great suspense filmmaking, where they suit up and they're driving out and Amy Adams, like you just hear her breath and her like anxious breathing and stuff. And she's like really trying to cope with the situation. Then they rack it up a notch and like they go up the dark passageway, you know, and you're like clutching. I was on the edge of my seat, like kind of filled with dread, but kind of knowing as well, I didn't think it was going to turn into like a horror thing, but just like
it's ominous totally, for sure. Yeah
extremely ominous, that the unknown of space, you know. It's like when you look up on a clear night, and when you really think about it, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know. He was able to get that feeling, and then the cool kind of surreal stuff with like the gravity shift, and they, you know, jump out of their little cherry picker device or whatever. Not a device. All those
I don't know. Lift thing.
I loved that build up. Like my heart was pounding. I thought that was awesome filmmaking.
What did you think? What did you think of the effects, like special effects in general? That just made me think, because that moment when the gravity does change, I remember thinking that was a little bit rough. on some of the effects there.
yeah.
And it was a bit of a mixed bag for me. I'm curious to hear how you thought it went.
I think all the stuff with the ship was really well done. And you got a really great sense of the scale. And
you mean like external ship?
The external, right. I should say. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, you got a great sense of scale and foreboding kind of feeling. And just having it, they did such a good job of having it in the background when the characters were just talking nearby. And they'd have it out of focus just to remind you that it was there, and it didn't feel like a CG effect or anything. Yeah, I think some of the stuff inside was like slightly, just ever so slightly, obviously CG, you know, especially the first time they puffed out their little ink smoke.
Yeah.
Like that just, that is an effect we've seen a million times. You know what I mean? That kind of wispy smoke. And that took me out for like a couple of seconds. I was like, okay. But then you get used to it. So yeah, I would agree. And the some of the gravity stuff in that sequence, even though I loved it, yeah, occasionally you could kind of tell like it was a blue screen, or like they were trying a bit too hard to like move the imagery to like land a certain way. It just felt manipulated with. But overall, you know, it totally it sold the reality of the world to me. Like I was very invested in it.
Yeah, I don't want to rail on it at all, especially given that it's like a much lower budget film than I'm sure, you know, most sci-fi films are. And you're 100% right, those external shots are jaw-dropping. Like, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
really, really solid. I think, apart from that, I agree with the smoky stuff, and apart from some of the sketchy gravity effects, the only one that really took me out was towards the end when she's in the weird atmosphere and they've like CGI'd her hair to be like all like,
I did notice that too.
Not affected by the gravity, and I just found that so distracting. Like, I wished they'd either not done it and just had her hair like normal, or like made it wet or something. I don't know, like it just, I found that so distracting for the whole scene. I just couldn't stop like wishing they hadn't done that because it was so obviously faked.
That definitely stood out for me too.
But anyway, that's quite a minor bit, to be fair. That's,
I think, you know, in a movie this good, but that's why that stuff stands out, you know, because everything else looks so good. And, you know, as usual, Denis Villeneuve has such a just great eye for composition. Like, holy shit, man. There's so many shots in this movie that you could just frame, you know, like, oh, I love it.
I love it. Given that we're sort of gushing over this quite a bit, were there any things that didn't work for you that you'd want to highlight?
So I guess, this did work for me, but we're, you know, let's talk about this whole time shifting.
Yeah.
Thing that ultimately is like the kind of twist of the movie, I suppose. You know, very cleverly tricks you at the start thinking that the Amy Adams character, her daughter has died in the past. And she's sort of this grieving mother that's a bit depressed and, you know, goes to talk to some aliens. But then you, as it goes on and she learns the language and stuff, you sort of slowly realize that she's seeing into the future instead. And then he's able to kind of time hop between memories almost and change the course of like the war that's about to start. I mean, I really liked all that. And I like the idea. I think what the movie was trying to do sometimes emotionally didn't work for me, and I really wanted it to. And that's probably the only real nitpick I had, is that I loved the movie so much, and I like the, but all the stuff with the daughter was a little too heavy-handed, or just like not a lot, but just like enough for me to notice or something. Like the interactions were too Like, it's kind of like, it reminded me a little bit of like, Finding Dory, where it's like every interaction is like a cute kid with
enormous, you know, eyeballs, and it's
like, yeah, exactly. And then she like, I don't know, I was going to say she swims away. That's not even a joke. it's hard for me to put into words because I liked that twist. And I liked that idea of like the ultimate gift was this strange time hopping. Although it does make me think, like, once you teach that to everyone, like, what happens to us?
Yeah, it's true.
when you learn that technique, like, what do we all do with our lives? It's but it's a very interesting concept, and I think it's cool sci-fi. But that area was a little murky, probably for me. What do you think? I feel like you can probably articulate it better than me.
Well, I don't know about that, but as usual, I completely agree, and I think that the emotional beats were the biggest problem I had with it. And it's not even, like you said, it wasn't like it was a problem, but they just didn't land the way I could feel the film wanted them to land on me. Like, I could see what they were trying to do a mile away, you know? Like, I'm supposed to be having my heartstrings tugged here, and it's just not doing it for me at all.
Well, yeah, and the opening on that note was like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is they're kind of trying to do what Up does in the first 10 minutes, you know? And it didn't work at all, I think. Like, it was interesting to see the story, but then you see the daughter die, and I was like, you know, I mean, this is sad, obviously, but I wasn't feeling it.
It was like intellectually sad, but not emotionally.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's like a perfect, like, an example of this same problem is Interstellar, right? Like, it's the same issue. Like, he suits the cold, harsh reality of science and science fiction, but when he tries to push the emotional buttons, it just doesn't work. And it's odd to, when you think about these two films, why they felt that they need to push heavily in that emotional direction. Like, Villeneuve's other films, I don't feel like have ever tried to do anything soppy's the wrong word, but emotionally affecting. He's always much more interested in dark, sinister coldness. And I mean, I guess this film is meant to be hopeful, but I don't know. I just find it strange that the two, probably even if they didn't work completely, like 100%, the two best sci-fis recently have both been thematically similar in the sense that they've tried to sort of loop science and love together as like a single idea in a weird way.
That's a great point.
But yeah, I agree. That was the weakest part of the film for me. And I also agree about the time travel aspects of the plot. And I like thematically the idea of that. That's really interesting. But it is a bit like, if you think about that too hard, it doesn't 100% add up. And I mean, it's a bit of a catch-22, right? Like, how can you ever explain that so much? There's always going to be paradoxes and weirdness to it. But it's kind of like, there was never really made clear of the rules of it. You know, the more she learns the language, the more she sort of experiences this time shift. But then there wasn't really a logic as to, like, was she willingly going back to certain points, or was it they showing her important things that she knew she had to, like, take forward and take back? And, you know, like, it was very specific in the things that she would jump to and from, it felt like. I don't know. Anyway, like, it's thinking too much about it again, because conceptually I really like the idea and it's really cool. And I guess, it's hard, especially in it's quite a concise film, like, to dig into all that sort of stuff. But
yeah, and I think, you know, I think you're right. And we were talking about it after we saw it. Like, is it just really strong kind of memories that she can jump between? Or is it like, well, I'm not going to do the shopping tomorrow because it's going to fucking rain. I'm going to stay inside. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, can she just see the weather, like, tomorrow? And obviously, you know, that's nitpicky and it's not about that. It almost becomes more just purely about the themes of the movie and what, or not even the themes, like, just the sci-fi ideas behind it rather than the actual everyday sort of reality of it, which which is maybe why it feels strange to us, because the rest of the movie is so realistic, I think.
And yeah.
Quite an intelligent sort of scenario as to what might happen in if something like this happened. Which brings me to another point I liked, which was like all the newscasts that you would see just in the background. Or occasionally they would show them as well. But that all felt very real to me, all that stuff. The different reactions, people looting. I mean, we've seen that stuff before, but it was like presented in a very realistic way.
Yeah, yeah.
People marching on Washington and people complaining. Like there's that soldier that sort of goes a bit nuts.
Mm.
And he's like looking at this like ultra hardcore blog, you know, which is, again, is stuff that has been popping up in the past few weeks in real life.
Yeah.
And he's getting influenced by this like anti-government sort of stance. And I found all that stuff really interesting and well handled.
Yeah, that's.
I feel like I just jumped onto that. That's totally different than what we're talking about. But
no, that's good. That's very true. I agree.
I'm working on different times here. I know that this is going to be a good review, so it's okay.
Well, like that is just maybe back to the time stuff. One of the things I really liked about the film is that it's another good example of like form and content working together really well. And I almost wish it didn't turn into a really overt time travel story, because I really liked how it was just subtly looping itself within the film. Like it was just the way it would insert scenes and the way the structure of the film was put together was this like time loopy jump thing. And I kind of wish it was almost just that. And if you were smart enough, you would pick up that this is how she was experiencing it, given the, so you're almost seeing the film as she would be seeing her life, if you know. Yes. I mean, it does do that, but then it also on top of that really nails it home and goes, she's time traveling, you know, she whispers this to the old mate, or he tells her what to say, you know, and that's like, it really, really pushes it home so people get it. And I think I would have perhaps preferred it if it was a bit more subtle, a bit more clever.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough. I mean, you can imagine, I don't know how they do it, but if they do it in a little way, like you said, but like if the movie itself was, and they try that, you know, it ends the same way that it starts, and you could argue, and you know, quite successfully they do that.
Yeah.
But you could push it even further. Mm. You're right. Like, I guess that changes the movie slightly.
Totally.
And gets rid of a lot of that stuff that didn't work for us. I think, you know, even having said all this, it's such an interesting exercise.
Definitely.
And like, for it to be able to work, you know, so much of the time is just, like, such a feat of filmmaking. And to go back to something that we've repeated a lot on the podcast, Matt, is that this type of movie exists, you know, like a big, you know, fairly wide release, mainstream, you know, decent budget movie that's about, literally in this case, about conversations, you know, like and talking and people, like it's got special effects, but it's not about that at all. And it's not a low budget indie either, which only, you know, festival goals we'll see and will never be seen again. So I think that's another thing to celebrate.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree. And it's like what I was just saying before about how much I would have liked it if it used form to tell certain things. I mean, that would push it into a spectrum like an art housey, like, you know, that would almost, what I was thinking in my mind was something like Under the Skin or something, you know, something that's more so poetic and cryptic. Oh man,
but that would be really good.
I mean, it would be, right? Like, it would be amazing. There's part of me that is more than willing to have this kind of like time loopy obvious stuff in it, because I still enjoyed that, even if it's not ideally what I'd like. But if that means it's going to get a wider release and more people are going to see a film like this and it's going to be successful, like, that's quite a small compromise, because everything else about the film is so good. And like, not only is it a mid-budget, you know, smart sci-fi film, it's also like an original film, right? Like, this isn't based on anything, is it?
Yeah,
It's not based
It's a short story.
Right, okay, but it's not like a fucking established
comic. It's an original.
Franchise, or something. Which...
Not at all.
You know, these days is becoming a rarity, so it's...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, the word of mouth, just totally anecdotally in my life, is very good. And I've had a lot of people say they want to see it. So I really hope that it does well. I know it has reviewed well, but I have no idea whether it's made money or not. And I really hope it does, because far out, man. It, like, stuff like this deserves to be reported.
Yeah, totally agree. Thanks for listening to the pre-post film review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Arrival. Let us know if you loved it as much as we did, or if you thought it was flawed and one of Villeneuve's lesser films. We'd like to hear some differing opinions, actually. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com, and we reply to all our emails, so it's awesome getting them from you guys. Keep sending them in.
That's right. Keep sending them in, and also keep liking us on Facebook, which means like us, and then like a couple of days later unlike, and then like re-like, because we get a notification, I think, and that makes us happy. And get your friends to like, and you know, give us a like on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's at prepostfr, and that's another great way to stay in touch with us, and reach out to us if you want. And you can also find us on iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes, which would be very nice. It's a great way to help spread the show and get the show more noticed on iTunes lists and things like that. Leave a review if you want. That would be very cool. If iTunes isn't your thing, we're obviously also on all the other big podcasting servers and sites and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So subscribe wherever you can. Also, if you're interested in what John and myself are watching outside of the podcast, we have Letterboxd accounts, which is a cool little site that lets you log all the films that you see and leave reviews. There are links to both of our profiles in the show notes if you want to check that out. And join us next episode, when we're going to be chatting about the latest, kind of in the Harry Potter franchise, I guess the Harry Potter world.
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which should be interesting.
Yeah, magical.
Trying to think of a magical sound effect, but
I don't know what that is.
That'll do.
I'm ready, mate.
Oh, yawny boy.
See you in space.